And this is Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. New rules for limousines and other non-taxi car services go into effect today. But as Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick reports, the State Public Utilities Commission is holding off on enforcing a controversial new part of the rules.
A spokesman for the State Public Utilities Commission says they will not enforce a $40 minimum charge on limousine rides until a court weighs in on the issue. Four limousine companies have sued the PUC over the new minimum, scheduled to take effect today. Attorney Michael Horan, who represents the plaintiffs, says the minimum makes no sense in a small state where rides often cost much less.
You know, in their dealings, they have a lot of trips they do in the course of a day that are under $40. And, at the $40 minimum, they're going to lose a lot of business and a lot of good customers.
Other provisions of the new rule regarding limousine operation will be enforced immediately, including vehicle maintenance rules. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
A South Kingstown refuge for unwanted parrots faces closure at the end of the year unless it can find new digs. The commercial building where Birdhouse and Rescue is operated is being demolished. Owner Steve Levicki says he has until December 30th to find new quarters. Birdhouse and Rescue takes in unwanted parrots and tries to find them new homes. Levicki says many parrot owners aren't prepared for the challenges of living with a bird that lives a long time and can be very destructive, also noisy. Some veterans have been waiting months to receive disability benefits, stuck in a long line of paperwork piling up at the Veterans Administration. Sam Hudsick checks in on how the New England office is progressing in efforts to sift through the backlog.
Of the disability claims awaiting action at New England regional offices of the VA, the department identifies just over half as backlogged. That means the vet has been waiting more than 125 days for an answer. Jonna Roach is the acting service center manager at the office in Hartford. She says some of the backlog at her office is from outside Connecticut, from as far away as San Diego.
The work for Hartford proper was in pretty good shape, so we're assisting the national workload, as no veteran should have to wait for their claim regardless of where they live.
The backlog at New England offices has dropped 38% since this past March, according to numbers provided by the VA. The department is aiming to have no backlogged claims as of 2015.
That's Sam Hudsick reporting. A local veterans group is making plans to bring a traveling replica of the Vietnam Memorial Wall to Rhode Island. Operation Stand Down says the wall will be displayed for public viewing at India Point Park in Providence between June 5th and June 8th. The traveling wall is an 80% scale version of the Vietnam Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. Spanning 360 feet, the wall contains every single name etched on the original. And ready or not, here it comes. The National Weather Service says the first snowfall of the season is at our doorsteps. The snow is expected to start falling tomorrow morning and continue through the morning commute. It'll be accompanied by an Arctic cold front, according to National Weather Service meteorologist Bill Simpson.
There will be no accumulation per se. A few spots could get enough to where it would, a tenth or two. But again, that's going to be isolated, so we really can't pinpoint where it's going to happen. But again, it doesn't take much for the roads to get slippery. So even though there won't be much accumulation, the roads could get slick.
Simpson says more seasonable temperatures will return by Thursday.
In April 2010, at the height of the Tea Party insurgency, then Rhode Island Governor Don Carcieri addressed a boisterous rally on the south steps of the State House. To 500 or so Tea Party activists, Carcieri bellowed, "I love the Tea Party, I love the Tea Party." Carcieri drew applause on that sun-washed afternoon when he pointed to the Capitol and said, "You are the hope. You are leading something here that's a national movement." 3 years later, the two Republicans vying for their party's nomination for the office Republican Carcieri once held are not out rallying the stridently anti-government Tea Party faction of the GOP. Both Cranston Mayor Alan Fung and Barrington software mogul and one-time moderate party member Ken Block are eyeing this movement warily, as they should, given the recent gubernatorial election results in Virginia and New Jersey. In New Jersey, incumbent Chris Christie won an overwhelming victory over a lackluster Democratic candidate. Christie has become a target of such national Tea Party darlings as Texas Senator Ted Cruz and Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. The New Jersey governor is no liberal. He's tough on government spending, doesn't much like unions, and is against abortion rights and same-gender marriage. Yet Christie's not anti-government. A pragmatist, he boasted during his campaign about his bipartisan work with President Obama to speed federal money to the New Jersey coastal communities devastated by last year's Sandy superstorm. And he spoke against the federal government shutdown. In Virginia, the Tea Party favorite, Republican Ken Cuccinelli, lost what arguably should have been a win over Democrat Terry McAuliffe, a flawed candidate who has never held elected office. McAuliffe is known mostly as a Bill Clinton best bud who raised millions of campaign dollars for the former president and his wife, former Secretary of State, and New York Senator Hillary Clinton. McAuliffe always seemed to be pushing the ethical envelope. In the waning days of the campaign, the Washington Post broke a story about McAuliffe's connection to Joseph Caramadre, the Rhode Island lawyer and estate planner who concocted a get-rich-quick insurance scheme that scammed insurance companies at the expense of the terminally ill. In the heat of the campaign, McAuliffe moved to tamp down the controversy by making a charitable donation of $74,000, an amount representing the $47,000 he made on an investment of $33,000, plus the $27,000 in campaign contributions Caramadre made to McAuliffe. Yet, despite this brouhaha and other reports of sketchy business ethics, McAuliffe defeated the Republican largely with the votes of women who exit polls showed were upset by Cuccinelli's stridently anti-abortion and gay rights views. The Rhode Island candidates, Block and Fung, both say they're pragmatists more concerned with making government work than shutting it down. "I tend to be a moderate Republican," says the Cranston mayor. "I'm more of a Chris Christie type guy," says Fung, who nonetheless supports abortion rights. The one element Fung says he has in common with some Tea Party members is cutting spending and presiding over a government that lives within its means and keeps taxes as low as possible. Fung cites his record of working with Republicans and Democrats in city government and emphasized that he would be a bipartisan governor. He didn't like the government shutdown. "I'm for limited government," says Fung, yet he also says he sees the need for responsible government regulation and oversight. Block says he plans to speak almost exclusively on the campaign circuit about the state's sluggish economy and creating jobs. "The economic and educational issues we have in Rhode Island trump everything else," says Block. Republicans, Block says, can't afford to be distracted from jump-starting the economy by such topics as gun control, abortion rights, and gay marriage. "I'm not going to be an activist governor on social issues," says Block. A supporter of abortion rights and gay marriage, Block applauds Rhode Island State Senate Republicans for voting unanimously for same-gender marriage. "The Senate Republicans were smart to take this issue off the table. The opposition in the Senate to gay marriage actually came from Democrats," says Block. Block also says he believes the universe of Ocean State Republicans who support the Tea Party is small. During a recent sit-down with the North Kingstown Republican Town Committee, he wasn't asked one Tea Party question. With the government shutdown, the hard core of the Tea Party appears to have overplayed its hand. Public opinion surveys show the shutdown and debt ceiling threats have tarnished the Republican brand. Most skeptics of government spending and Obamacare don't want to crash the national and international economy and jeopardize next month's Social Security checks. As was the case with the left's Occupy Wall Street movement, it looks like the Tea Party's days are numbered as a force in American politics. This is good news for Rhode Island Republicans, who next year can focus on winning elections by connecting to the moderate middle rather than shouting to the radio talk show and Tea Party fringes.
Good morning. You're listening to Morning Edition. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. On this Veterans Day, we're checking in with Donald Ruggieri. He served 5 years in the Marine Corps and was deployed to Iraq as an explosives dog handler. He continued that work stateside, working with the Secret Service on missions for both President Bush and President Obama. Ruggieri is not only a veteran, but he's also a student at the University of Rhode Island, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start with your military service. What prompted you to join the Marines?
When I was in high school, I knew I wanted to join the military. I didn't quite know which branch I wanted to join, but I talked to a couple of the recruiters, and quickly it became the only option to join the Marine Corps.
What was it about the Marines?
I don't know. It just at the time seemed like the best, and at this time it still seems like the best.
Tell us a little bit about your work as an explosives dog handler. What was the mission?
When I joined the Marine Corps in 2006, they give you a list of job options, and I saw that on the list, and I knew that was the one I wanted. I've always loved animals ever since I was a kid. Dogs, anything, any other pets I could have, I wanted. There was no guarantee that it was your job. They give you a series to choose from, and then whatever the Marine Corps needs, the Marine Corps decides which job you get. And I knew I had to get the dog trainer. I had to get the dog handler. I wanted it so bad.
Now, Donald Ruggieri, you were in the Marines for 5 years, and as your service came to an end, you started talking with colleges by letting them know you were a veteran. Did that open doors for you in terms of financial help or policies that allowed you to get some credits for your military experience?
Well, it did, but it sort of didn't happen just like that. When I joined the military, I swore that's what I wanted to do. I didn't join it as like, hey, I'm going to do 4 years and get out and pay for school. I joined almost blindsided and didn't know a lot of my benefits at the time. And when I was getting closer to the end of my contract, at that time, my family had always wanted me to go to school. They didn't want me to join in the beginning. So it crossed my mind again, and I said, great, I would actually want to go to school. And I sent out emails to several colleges. At the time, I was living in California, and I wanted to go to college in California. I wanted to get out and stay in California and whatnot. And I sent out maybe a dozen or so emails, and the University of Rhode Island was the first one to email me back. And I got out in August of 2011, and classes were like starting in August 2011. Most of the veterans representatives basically told me they couldn't help me because it was too late at the time. They said, we'll put you in touch with this community colleges, and you can do a semester there, and then we'll work with you to get you in. And at URI, I sent an email, and he responded probably within a couple hours, and he said, not a problem, here's what you need to do, and I'll walk you through every step of the way. And he got me the credits transferred and told me, you know, my different options for using the GI Bill. And then one of his assistants actually told me what he was doing, and that he was saving his GI Bill for graduate school, and that he's using several other state resources and private scholarships that help him pay for his undergraduate work and stuff like that.
And you're studying to become a veterinarian.
Yes, I'm studying biology and animal science, and I hope to go to grad school to be a veterinarian.
And let's talk about your experience in college. You're at the University of Rhode Island, but as a veteran who's been deployed, who's assisted the Secret Service in protecting the safety of two presidents, how do you relate to your fellow classmates?
It's definitely very interesting. I'm much older than most of my classmates, and it's a little different at first, but throughout the years, it's becoming extremely easier. I'm more involved, and everybody likes to hear your story.
Do you feel that students have misconceptions about people who've served in the military?
I don't think so currently. I bet you at one time they did, but now everybody, it's sort of commonplace now. As the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan are dwindling down, there's becoming more and more student veterans. So it's not uncommon on campus to be a student veteran.
When you think about Veterans Day, I mean, people often think about World War II, Korea, Vietnam veterans. Is it different being a veteran of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan?
I think it's much different. Obviously, it's different celebrating Veterans Day now, being a 26, 27-year-old veteran. When you think of like a veteran from World Wars, you think of your grandparents and your grandfather or grandmother. And that's what I thought when I was in high school, and that's what I thought when I was a kid. But now that I am a veteran, it's different. It's intriguing. And most people want to hear your story still, and everybody's very supportive.
And who do you think about on Veterans Day?
I still think about the grandfathers and the grandmothers, but now I know several hundred other people that I've served with, and I think about them as well and the people that are still serving.
Donald Ruggieri is a URI student and former Marine Sergeant. Thank you for joining us on Veterans Day.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.